did, but I'm glad to see you're awake. I was about ready to repeat that song. You have a lovely voice. Yours is about the only one I heard. Okay, everybody awake. We have these sound issues just to make sure you're nice and awake, because this is called the celebration service. Y'all ready to celebrate? Amen. Ooh, I like that drum beat. Scott, you're with me, man. Okay, we've got a lot of things going on. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. We are so glad to have our visitors and guests and our members today. Want to make sure that you sign the attendance pads, please, so I can bother you with a note in the mail, but not at your door. We've got a lot of things going on. We're starting a new mission. And our new mission is really an old mission. We're revisiting our old mission. Our old mission is that we're going to try to help eradicate hunger in Pulaski County. Now, that's not just something sweet, and that's not just something that's a grand goal. It's something that we're going to commit an Asbury action to at least once a month. And what we're going to do is, you'll notice, look at the light bulb place in your bulletin, and that gives the details. The first Tuesday at 2 o'clock of every month, anybody that can, and I recognize that some people are at work, but for those of you that are not, we're going to be putting these kits together, or perhaps buying supplies, or perhaps running downtown to where our homeless friends are, and we're going to greet them in the name of Christ and help them that day with a blessing of a kit that we're putting together, toiletries, food, things that they might need in their time of transition. So if you want to be a part of that ministry, please show up at that time. And if you can't be there at that time, if there's something that you'd like to contribute, you know, if you know a dentist that wants to offer some more toothpaste and toothbrushes, or if you know of anybody, or as you're buying school back to school supplies, bring some here to the church on Sunday mornings when you're here. And let's get those together and do that for them. Hog on the Hill is coming. Hog on the Hill. That's going to be a wonderful church-wide celebration that reaches out to the community. I mean, we're putting it all together. October 11th, be here or be square. Because, I should have said be there or be square. But I want you here because it's going to be a synergy experience of the Fall Festival, of the Pumpkin Patch, and of live music and silent auction and ways that we can raise money for, again, those who are hungry here in Pulaski County, as well as our shared ministries program. So I want you to be sure and be a part of that. And I understand that the youth are calling in their rain check today, and they're going to Big Rock. So please see details on that that are also listed in your bulletin. Now, let's turn around and share that peace of Christ with each other.
Good morning. If all my friends will come see me. All right. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. All right. I have a question for you because, you know, Miss Laura always has to ask questions. What are some excuses that we make up so we don't have to do something? Miles?
I forgot.
Okay. What else?
I forgot too.
They're all forgetting at the Hartwood household. What about, especially when you're at school? Yes?
I lost my homework.
Okay. We lost our homework. What else?
My dog ate it.
The dog ate it. Emery?
I just lose it all the time at my school.
You left it at your, you use it at your, you left it at school. Okay. One more.
I flushed it down the toilet.
Flushed it down the toilet. All right. How about this one? What if it's an excuse like you have to clean your room, like maybe, well, my favorite program is on TV. Or if mom or dad wants you to do something and you go, this is the one I love the most. And I use this. I want you to know I pulled this card all the time when I was young. You ready? But I'm so tired. Do y'all use that one? No, I use that all the time. I'm so tired. All the time. Madeline is over here saying yes all the time. I just wanted you to know. Okay. Well, you know, we make excuses for a lot of things. Things that we may not want to do or we don't have to clean up. But, you know, they also used excuses. Okay. They also used excuses back in Jesus' time, too. Did you know that? There was a lot of people that didn't want to follow him. Or they were like, okay, well, let me get back to you because they had to go take care of something at home. Or they had to, you know, see someone or say goodbye to someone. You know what? When Jesus asks us to follow him, we can't give him any excuses. He doesn't want excuses. He wants us to do everything we need to do and follow him right then and there. And so it's hard because we always have to have excuses, don't we? We have excuses all the time. And so we need to remember that when Jesus says, okay, I'm ready for you to follow me, are we going to give him excuses or are we going to do what he asked us to do? Do what he asked us to do. That's right. All right. Who would like to pray for us today? Y'all praying? Who wants to pray? Madeline, you want to pray today? Okay. Let's pray.
Dear God, thank you for our family. Thank you for this amazing day today. And I hope that everyone will be safe getting home. And I hope that everyone's family is blessed. Amen.
You'll find people in your bulletin that we want to remember in our prayers. We want to also add Mildred Bradley as well as Thomas O'Banion. So let us go to God in prayer. Most loving Father, we are so grateful for this day. It is a gift. It is a blessing. As is your church. Your church is a gift. It is a blessing to our lives. For the church is the body of Christ, empowered to represent Christ in this world. And as we are individually members of that body, representing Christ in this world, we are tasked with not only a great responsibility, but a great privilege. Help us to cherish both that responsibility and privilege. So as we gather in this moment of prayer, dear God, we lift up those that we have mentioned by name and so many others that we carry in our hearts. We pray for our country and its leadership, the decisions that are made every day, which affect our lives and the way we live in this country and in this world. And, oh God, we pray for that leadership. We pray for those who lead us. We pray for those who follow. And now, God, as we come to you in this time of prayer, we would be remiss if we didn't confess our sins. Oh, the things this week that we were going to do better, but we didn't. Oh, the words that we were going to say to encourage someone, and they were left unsaid. Oh, the acts of compassion that we were going to offer, but we just simply didn't find the time, make the time, and do it. Sometimes we sin because we do something that is wrong. And oh God, you know, sometimes we sin because we were even unaware that something was not said, not done, simply omitted. Forgive us, we pray. But we believe in the grace of Christ that fills our hearts and our minds and convicts us to try again, to rise up again, and to minister to a hurting world. For our example is Christ, who did and does minister healing and power and love this day and always. May we follow Christ's leadership of ministry and care. For we pray this in his holy name, as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As I invite the ushers to come forward, it is summertime. We see it in the crowds. We see it all over everywhere. But the church is here day in and day out, season in and season out. And your gifts make a difference. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for these gifts that we are about to receive, that they not only minister to the programs of this church, but they reach far beyond the walls of this church. And they do so through the way that you bless and multiply them in your Holy Spirit. So now, O God, we ask that you take these gifts and use them for the power and the outreach for your kingdom work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Your bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I worship your holy name.
And on that day when my strength is the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name.
Sing like never before.
Are we blessed by Linda Southern and Scott Southern and Bradley McNerlin and Wayne Bradley? Praise the Lord. All righty. I hope you brought your Bibles or look on the screens as we look at God's wonderful word as recorded in Luke. We're going to look at the 51st verse and then skip down to verse 59 and go through 62. May the people of God be blessed in God's holy word as we are refreshed and renewed in hearing and reading it. Luke 9:51 and then 59 through 62. When the days drew near for him to be received up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God. One of my favorite games to play as a child, whether I was leading or following, was follow the leader. And I don't know if it's because I look forward to seeing how difficult it would be and it might be a challenge, or whether I would be asked, or whether I would be creative enough to do something rather funny. Well, today we have an example of perhaps what not to do when following the leader.
All right, now for a little muscle coordination. Now, here's what I want you to do. Spread your arms out. Close your eyes. And bring your hands together and touch your fingertips. Got that? Trying to see you. All right, Otis. Otis. Honest, like an honest. Now it is. Let's go. Okay. Now, Otis, you know, when a man's been drinking, the first thing he loses is his endurance. Now, I'm going to give you a little endurance test. Let's just see how much endurance you've got, okay? All right, Otis. On your feet. Now lift your right foot. When I give the command, start hopping on your left. Ready? Command, change feet.
You can participate if you want to.
Scientific test I ever saw. You ought to write that up and send it in to the FBI. Call it the Barney Fife Peter Piper nose pinching test for drunks.
Okay. The one thing that I've learned as an adult placed in a leadership position is it's really helpful if someone's actually following you. Social media. You friend someone, and suddenly you're being followed. You're also following someone. You know, I do these daily posts, and I've noticed some aren't following me. And that's all right. Sometimes you have situations where you're not really wanting to read that political rant every day or be subjected to the latest little Tupperware or whatever gimmick that they're trying to promote through social media. It's okay. Sometimes you follow, sometimes you unfollow. In today's text, something has changed. And we see this because Jesus is doing what he has done from the beginning. He's inviting people to follow him and to help grow the kingdom of God. Now, in the very beginning of the gospel story, as we read Jesus selecting what he sees to be potential leaders, potential disciples in the kingdom work of God, we see that he meets Simon Peter and then Andrew. And then later on, James and John. And he is inviting them to leave their everyday life and to be a part of something eternal. Now, we know that what he's inviting them to leave is to be fishermen. And so, if you're going to try to entice someone to venture away from the norm, from the comfortable, from the familiar, you're really going to need to influence them in some way. What better way to influence a fisherman than to show them how to be a better fisherman? And so during the lull of the day, the fish weren't biting. Jesus meets these four. He says, hey, throw your nets on the other side. And they do. And the catch is so tremendous, it nearly capsizes the boat from their great haul of fish. He says, from now on, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they follow Jesus into the kingdom work. Then he comes upon a tax collector named Levi. Now, tax collectors in that day did very well for themselves. He was great at the finances. And so this man named Levi, which we later on know as Matthew, he had a drawer full of cash, doing very well for himself. Tax collectors could really do whatever they wanted. Why does he need to change? Life is pretty sweet for him. And so Jesus says, follow me. And Luke says, Levi drops everything and follows him.
These are the first disciples that we know of that followed Christ into the work of God's kingdom. But I'm telling you, now there's a shift in response. The invitation hasn't changed. Jesus says, follow me. What happens? Well, we just read, I've got to go bury my father. Another hems and haws and says, I need to go say goodbye to the folks at home. Now, obviously, these are two bona fide excuses. Great reasons to hesitate to take care of business before immediately following Christ. In fact, it was the Jewish expectation. You bury the dead, you take care of them. And you hold family next to God. So again, not unreasonable for them to not follow Jesus immediately. No, something has changed. And we find the key to that change in verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face toward Jerusalem. There's something about this act of setting face toward Jerusalem that changes everything. Jesus had been quite well accepted now in the Samaritan villages, but the potential disciples, the man that needed to bury his father, the man that wanted to say goodbye to his family, these potential disciples, they didn't immediately follow Christ. No, something has changed. And it had something to do with this timing and direction toward Jerusalem. Now, in the original language, we see this word facing towards Jerusalem as resolute purposefulness. Now, we have the advantage of knowing about this Jerusalem aftermath. We know that Christ came in on Palm Sunday in glory and acclamation, hailed as a king. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We also know just a few short days later, he was deserted by his friends, he was spat upon, tortured, and finally killed. When the scriptures tell us he set his face toward Jerusalem, I'm here to tell you, it took everything in the man's mind and heart to make him turn in that direction. He knew what awaited him. He knew what Jerusalem represented. Think about what it has taken you to go to that dark place, that place you do not want to confront, to go in that office on Monday morning and have that conversation you don't want to have, to sit down with that family member and look them square in the eye and tell them what it's going to take everything in your power to say, but you know it needs to be said. Think about the darkest time in your life, and you have just an inkling of what Christ was experiencing. The thing is, folks, Jesus is still asking people to follow him every day. The American Research Group quotes this statistic. 20% of all Americans profess they have no religious affiliation. In 1990, it was 8%. You do the math, 12%, 25 years. It also states that 46% of all Americans ages 18 to 35 profess no religious affiliation. Now, you look around in this room right now, and this is indicative of what you see in every church in America. The primary folks who come to worship, who find it important for whatever their reasons are to be in worship, are baby boomers and older. We're missing the Y generation, the X generation, by and large. We got to do something about that. We have to turn that around, because indeed, that's what repentance means. There's a whole group of people out there that don't feel the need to come worship the Lord and repent. Maybe they're unaware they need to repent. Maybe they're unaware that they need to worship the Lord. Maybe they bought into, I can worship the Lord anywhere at any time I want to. But I'm sorry, that is not biblical. The Lord God told us to worship Him and Him alone. Amen. We got to take Christ out there and, in the name of Christ, offer the invitation He's been offering since day one of His ministry, and that's follow Jesus. So, I'm making a challenge to you today, and I'm making it to myself, that in 1 year's time, you bring one person to Jesus Christ. How many of you are willing to make that challenge, to meet that challenge? It's a pretty big, awesome responsibility. But I'm here to tell you, we are not in worship to preserve Asbury Church. We are not in worship to preserve the church. We are not in worship for any reason other than to refill our spirits so we can go out into this world and share Christ. Amen? Because that's the mistake a lot of churches are making. They're in the business of preserving the institution. They're in the business of preserving the building. They're in the business of preserving the program. Again, that's not biblical. The church is of God and shall be to the end of the age, yes. But the church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. That's you. And that's me. We have, I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice, about a sinus infection this weekend. We have approximately 350 members in average worship attendance at Asbury Church. We have approximately 750 on the roll. Again, you do the math. If each of us brings one person to Jesus Christ, whether they worship at Asbury or not, we've grown the kingdom. And that's what it's all about. They come to Asbury, wonderful. You know how to embrace someone, so do I. But just think how you could be a part of answering the invitation and making a difference for the kingdom of God. Jesus said, follow me. Follow him to what? I want to know what everybody is doing right now that's not in worship. They're having their much-needed vacation, wonderful. But if that's not why they're not here, what are they doing? What are they attracted to? I'll tell you what they're attracted to. They're attracted to things that are quick. They're attracted to things that are easy. They're attracted to things that are entertaining. They're attracted to things that are inexpensive, if not free. Is that the church? A prayer to Jesus is quick. It can be verbose if you want it to be, but it can be quick. Not everybody drops something in the plate today.
That's between you and God. I'd be far more concerned what God thought about it than what I thought about it. The Bible says give 10%. We don't suggest that. We say give from your heart. God knows the rest. The music, week after week, beautiful, comes from the heart of the people, the musicians. Sometimes it's upbeat, sometimes it's meditative. But it's given in the spirit of the living Lord. To follow Jesus is to want to serve Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got to love someone before I truly serve them. I mean, Tony here gets that coffee in bed because I love him. Not because I have to. Thank you, Scott. This is about the love of Christ. Our service should come because we love Christ. We're here to minister to the hurt, to the hungry, to the sick, to the needy. And we do that because we love Christ and we love His people. Yeah, I know there's some people that are harder to love than others. I got that. But that's why you do it, because you love Christ. And the love for others will grow. It'll form. This love of Christ has got to be real. For just a moment, think with me. The first time you fell in love, capture that feeling. Did your heart go pitter-patter just a little bit more than usual? Did you get so excited that you couldn't wait to tell either your family or your best friend, "I think I found the one"? Was it like you couldn't do enough for that person? Couldn't be with that person enough? Now think about how you feel in your love for Christ. When you think of Jesus, does your heart pitter-patter? When you think about Jesus and your love for Jesus, can you hardly wait to go tell someone about Him? When you think about your love for Jesus, can you hardly wait to spend time with Him? See what I'm talking about? Where has our love for Christ gone? It starts with that kind of love for Christ. Everything else will come into play. I won't have to ask you about money because you're giving it to Jesus. We won't have to beg for volunteers to be greeters, to be ushers, to drive the van, to drive a car, to sing in the praise band, to sing in the chancel choir, to play handbells. We won't have to beg. As you do it because you love Jesus. You see that difference, that kind of love, and you put it with your relationship with Christ, and you see if you measure up to what you felt at one time in your life and maybe feel now to another. I'm concerned that the church has bought into this fast food theology where we're serving up Happy Meal worship loaded with fat grams but not very spiritually nourishing or spiritually sustaining. Amen? Oh, no amen to that. Amen. got to fill ourselves with Jesus in order to share Jesus. It's just as simple as that. When I perform a wedding service, it's one of the greatest joys of being an ordained minister. When I perform that wedding service, the vows are powerful and they're intentional. And they're reminders of the commitment involved. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Notice what the vows do not say. I will take my husband, I will take my wife, so long as things are going easy. Notice what the vows do not say. I will take my husband, my wife, as long as we both have plenty of money. Notice what the vows do not say. I will take my husband, my wife, as long as they are young and good looking. No, the marriage is a covenant. It is a covenant. Just like Christ calls you and me into covenant. Is actually the primary covenant of our life. If we can't commit to God, is there really anyone that we can commit to? Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will bring you into covenant." When you first professed your faith in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that was your covenant. Jesus says, "Follow me when the fishing is great and the sky is full of beauty." Jesus says, "Follow me when you are facing your darkest moment and you're headed toward Jerusalem." Jesus says, "Follow me for better, for worse, employed or unemployed, active or retired, healthy or on your deathbed." Jesus says, "Follow me." Many years ago, the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, wrote a beautiful covenant prayer. It's actually on page 607 of the United Methodist Hymnal. And I'm going to share this with you now. "Lord God, put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing." You hear the intent of that prayer. "Lord, I follow you. Penniless or rich, hungry or well fed, no matter what, giving whole lives to God." Covenant. Evangelist Jerry Fuller tells this story of some Anglican priests in a Kenyan village conducting a worship service. Very traditional service, hymns, prayers, songs, message, devotional, offering. The people are impoverished in this village. They need hope. There was one woman that the Anglican priest noticed right away. She had this real resonance of being somber and
reserved, like a core of sadness was in her. Tall, pencil thin. It came time for the offering. And, excuse me. And they didn't have polished brass plates or shiny wooden polished plates. No plates of any kind. Now, what they gathered their offering in was this huge barrel-like woven basket, no doubt made right there in the village. When the Anglican priest saw that in front of the altar, it was time to administer the offering. The thought came to them, how can these poor people ever hope to fill up that big basket? But nonetheless, that's what was provided. And they began to pass it, person to person to person, row to row to row. Well, it came to this woman that I described earlier, sad. And instead of reaching in her garment to bring out what little she might have, no gesture of a kind. Instead of passing it to the next person in her sadness, no gesture of a kind. No. She took that basket. She set it down in front of her. And she climbed in. She climbed in that basket, her pencil-thin body filling it up. She didn't say a word. Neither did anyone else in the room. And she began to pray silently, but you could see it was a posture of prayer. And after a while, she stepped out of the basket with the same ease with which she had crawled in it. And she took the basket and passed it on to the next person. Nothing that was said or sung in that service that day had the power of the message given by that woman and that movement. And that one single solitary movement, she showed what is covenant. Giving your whole mind, whole body, whole soul to Jesus Christ. That's covenant. I made a challenge a few minutes ago. Will you, in your covenant to the Lord God Almighty, bring one person to Christ by July 2016? Let the people of Asbury United Methodist Church say, amen. I didn't hear it. I know God didn't.
Amen.
There you go. I would invite the celebration singers and musicians to come forward now. We talked a lot about covenant. We've talked a lot about worship. We've talked a lot about what it is to follow Christ. And every Sunday, again, I offer the prayer rail to any that would like to come and to pray. We have a lot of needs. The world has a lot of needs. I invite you to come forward and to renew your covenant and your heart to God Almighty as we come forward to pray and stand and sing our closing hymn.
Yeah.
As always, it was a joy and a privilege and a gift to worship with you today. I pray that you will renew your covenant, your heart to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and we'll share the love of God and the grace of our Lord and Savior and the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit beginning today and going each day the rest of your life. Amen.